Welcome to the local news. Today is Monday, June 17th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, CAL FIRE sends local resources to fight fires in Sonoma and Los Angeles counties. Report says Humboldt gets good deal from funding film production agency. And Fort Bragg budget balanced with $46,000 surplus. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. CAL FIRE's Humboldt Del Norte unit is assisting in other incidents across the state, including in Sonoma, Shasta, and Los Angeles counties. And with local resources out of the area, they are encouraging local residents to be vigilant in preventing new starts. CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Jeremy Ward shared this update with our newsroom earlier this Monday.
So over the last several days, we have seen an increase in activity statewide as far as fire activity. And with that, a lot of it hasn't really been major local incidents, but we have sent a lot of equipment out of the area to other CAL FIRE units to assist with vegetation fires.
Across the state, CAL FIRE is responding to 18 active wildland fires. The largest, the Post Fire, burning in Los Angeles and Ventura counties, now over 15,000 acres in size. Evacuation orders are in place for areas west of Interstate 5 between Pyramid Lake and Gorman, including the Hungry Valley State Vehicular Recreation Area. Closer to home, the second largest incident in the state, the Point Fire, burning to the west of Highway 101 and Dry Creek Road in Healdsburg within Sonoma County. As of 4 p.m. this Monday afternoon, the fire has consumed 1,200 acres near Stewart's Point Skaggs Spring Road, triggering evacuation orders and warnings in that region.
We had already sent some equipment out to cover other stations and CAL FIRE units behind those resources that have been assigned to some of those fires in other areas. Since then, some of that equipment has moved from one area or another where they were covering those geographic locations to actually working on the fires. We do have some equipment on the Point Fire down in Sonoma County, and I believe we have some at the Hidden Fire that's in Shasta County. And we even have some what we would call overhead personnel who are down in Los Angeles County on the Post Fire, as the CAL FIRE Incident Management Team has been assigned to assist with that major incident.
With local CAL FIRE crews responding to out-of-area fires, volunteer departments have stepped up to staff engines.
So a lot of movement as far as resources, and with that, we've also looked at beefing up some of our local resources by calling in for assistance from local government agencies. I think right now we have Bryceland Fire is helping cover one of our stations, as is Rio Del. And I think we're still looking at trying to get a little bit more coverage up in the north as well.
Battalion Chief Ward noted that those areas seeing larger wildland activity may be drier than the north coast, but cautioned that conditions are rapidly changing.
Yes, especially there's other areas of the state that are under red flag warnings right now, and I believe a lot of that red flag warning extends through till tomorrow morning. And that was for some gusty winds and low humidities, which, you know, we know that's a major contributor to wildfire when those conditions arise. But we have noticed that it's also been windy in a lot of places in the county around here lately, too. So wind is the single biggest influencing factor on fire behavior, on that wildland fire behavior. So with that, you know, we always want to remind people to please be careful in their outdoor activities. Make sure your vehicles are maintained. If you are still doing any debris burning, this is like vegetative debris piles, making sure that you're following the terms of your permit and that you're staying in attendance and you have got clearance around your piles. Because right now, that has still been the biggest leading cause of vegetation fires in our unit so far this summer. And that's where people are not maintaining their pile burning. They're not staying in attendance, and we've had a number of those fires escape. We would like to prevent any further of those incidents.
While burn piles are still allowed within the Humboldt, Del Norte, and Mendocino units of CAL FIRE, the hotter and drier conditions in the region have prompted CAL FIRE's Shasta Trinity unit to suspend all burn permits for outdoor residential burning, starting today, Monday, June 17th.
We've worked with the Shasta Trinity CAL FIRE unit and implemented that burn suspension at the same time. Again, that's for those portions of Trinity County that fall under CAL FIRE Humboldt Del Norte unit's responsibility. But basically, Western Trinity County is fallen along with the rest of Trinity County, and the burning is suspended there.
Our region's peak fire season tends to be in the fall. However, the battalion chief stated we could see an early beginning.
It's the time of the year where we're still expecting fire activity to start to pick up over the next several months. The long-range forecast, you know, they're still iffy, and again, they're just forecasts. So I believe there's pretty equal chances of us getting, you know, an earlier fall to winter as there was to, you know, having a drier later fall and winter. Again, just like I said, since it's been such a big factor for those people who are doing their pile burning, please make sure that you stay in attendance and make sure that you clear around those piles. And do not burn when windy. Those are all the things that lead to those debris pile escapes. It hasn't been a problem with the folks who are doing the prescribed burning. You know, those are generally very well organized and very well staffed. The issues arise when people go to burn their piles and, like I said, leave them unstaffed by not staying in attendance.
CAL FIRE's Mendocino unit was also busy this afternoon, responding to an incident on Branscombe Road near Mendocino Magic Campground. Laytonville Fire also assisted, and its retired chief and acting public information officer shared this overview.
Sue Carberry, I'm the retired chief of Laytonville Fire Department. This afternoon about 2:30, we had a report of smoke out in what we call the Winchester Flats area, which is about 4 miles from town on Branscombe Road. Gray, whitish smoke. Nothing was going on in the area that we knew of. CAL FIRE started a full wildland dispatch. It was an air show to begin with because it's very rough terrain, overgrown area, a lot of old hoop houses, and nobody in the area at all. And they dropped retardant and water from the air and then guided the crews into the fire. Last report, it was about 1 to 2 acres, slow rate of spread, and no threat to any structures. And they're in the mop-up stage now, and hopefully it'll stay that way.
Chief Carberry also cautioned all Mendocino residents to be vigilant as fire season is picking up across the state.
Yeah, it seems to have started pretty quick this spring, this summer. I guess it is summer. And a lot of fuel, a lot of grasses, tall grasses on the ground. And it was very windy out there, and that never helped. So I think, as always, Lauren, we're just preparing to, as happened this afternoon, a neighbor saw it, knew it wasn't right, and called it in. And that's what keeps the fire small.
The National Weather Service in Eureka issued a red flag warning for the southern portion of their forecast region. And KMA News followed up with a meteorologist for an update.
Okay, my name is Josh Wood. I'm a meteorologist. The biggest thing going on that we've had is a little bit of fire weather down south in Lake County. We have a red flag warning out that will go till this evening, and it's on schedule to expire. And that would be from the gusty winds they've had down there and the low relative humidity values with these winds coming down Sacramento Valley and accelerating and coming into that to the higher terrain there for the north and northeast setup. But that setup is winding down. We have a weak trough coming through that's not going to give any precipitation for us, maybe farther north, maybe some increasing mid to high level clouds. But beyond that, we'll be entering a little warming trend all the way through late in the week and into the weekend. Not expecting anything too impactful with that by that. But by Friday and Saturday, there'll be some, in the warmest valleys, there'll be some upper 90s and some low 100s probably through Friday and Saturday. And we got some pretty gusty wind today, and this will be probably the windiest day, and even that will be starting to wind down as the northerlies kind of shift a little farther west over the waters and not as impacted the coast as much. The flow will turn more westerly, northwest, and allow some of that moisture marine air to move on inland and raise some of those relative humidity values to ease the fire threat. Right now, there's been some small incidents down there, some grass fires that have been quickly put out, but the bigger grass fire is still remaining down in Sonoma County.
In conclusion, we asked if the National Weather Service had any models to predict this year's fire season.
Well, we monitor the fuels. We have some metrics for fuel moisture, energy release components, and fuel moisture. And those are still running up there higher than usual for this time of year for the live fuels with the trees. And so that's getting there, but it's just the grass is inland. We've just now expanded our areas to where we can what we consider could be red flag warnings, where we put out when fire risk is higher for when the combination of relative humidity and wind is correct. And that area has been expanded through our area. So it's getting there, but it's still, those late season rains that came through have still got it pretty wet.
For an up-to-the-minute weather forecast, you can visit weather.gov/EKA. And to see a map of all of the wildland fires across the state and how to prepare your home and family, you can visit fire.ca.gov. In addition, KMA News would like to remind our listeners to visit their county's website and sign up for emergency alerts. The Humboldt-Del Norte Film Commission's annual report to Humboldt supervisors highlighted revenue generated by film production. KMUD's Daniel Mintz reports.
Humboldt County's appeal to film producers has translated into millions of dollars of revenue, and the Humboldt-Del Norte Film Commission wants to make the county even more film-friendly. Cassandra Heseltine leads the commission and gave the Board of Supervisors an annual update on the county's film production activities. The last year included local filming of a major production featuring Hollywood actor Leonardo DiCaprio. It's part of the county's long history of providing settings for major films, including the Star Wars sequel Return of the Jedi. Heseltine said over the last 13 years, film production has generated $12.4 million in revenue for the county. In addition to grants and fundraising, the commission gets contributions from county sources like the Measure J hotel bed tax increase and local agencies like the Humboldt Lodging Alliance. And she said the ROI, return on investment, is substantial.
If we have an estimated direct dollars of $12.4 million that has come into the community directly, that is them spending on permits, on hotels, on anything that is locations, you know, anything that has to do with the actual filming. It doesn't take in dinner, days off, any of that. That's taken in consideration in the indirect dollars, as well as the money circulating in the economy. So, and that feels more like $36.5 million. To date, just the county, not my other funders, has given us $1.1 million, has funded our office over the past 14 years. So if you do the ROI formula to that, that gives you back a 990% ROI and 3,000 if you do the indirect dollars. We did update that and added back in all the other Humboldt County funders as well. This doesn't account does not take in grants, fundraisers, or Del Norte County. And again, so between the county and the cities and HLA who have funded us, then your ROI is 575% and indirectly 1,800%. So we think you're getting a good deal.
The three-day Forest Moon Star Wars Festival was held in late May through early June. It was the county's third Forest Moon event, and Heseltine said with hotel room and other spending, the first 2 years generated $160,000 in revenue.
You know, when it comes to how do you figure out how much money is coming in from something like this, we know the first year we had over 6,500 people just at the main events. For this, we haven't been able to collect all the numbers this year yet because it just happened a week ago. But if we had to guess and we had 100 rooms, you know, from last year and 150 rooms this year, which we know we do have a pretty good guess on that because of how many customers did come from out of the area and people that we've talked to, and they had to spend money and you had local spending money, we feel that these are all extremely conservative numbers. It shows you, though, that with the funding that you gave us, that there's already an ROI, you know, immediately since we've been launching this festival. And again, you know, our assets are, we are the only location that they filmed Endor for Return of the Jedi, that you are not in a convention, which a lot of people have said, you know, that when they go to some type of Star Wars activity, you know, usually it's in a convention center and that they get to come and see the Redwoods, so they get a twofer, and that we do get costumers that love us that have been willing to come up here annually.
In the works is a film incentive program that would waive or reimburse permitting and other fees. Heseltine said it would be, quote, a great way to entice a film production to the area. The near future could include a film production in Garberville, as discussed in this exchange between Supervisor Natalie Arroyo and Heseltine.
The question I had for you is probably the question that people always ask. What's coming our way? That I know you are sworn to secrecy on most projects, but can you talk about any exploration that's happening or anything you might be able to share?
Yeah, we do have two independent feature films right now that we're talking to. One of them, as I said, wants to film in Garberville, and that would be a union shoot. So fingers crossed that that's happening. We're really excited about that one. The second one is not as far as the first one that is wanting to come here and film. And they said that they'd be more than willing to be our guinea pig if we have an incentive program by then ready for them to go. They will be filming a lot on the roads down there. So we will make sure that people are aware of what's happening when that happens.
The commission's efforts to make film producers and crews feel at home in Humboldt include Humboldt-made welcome baskets with various goodies. When Supervisor Steve Madrone suggested also giving Humboldt-grown baskets with cannabis products, Heseltine said the commission is already on it and has gotten cannabis donations for it. In Eureka, for KMUD News, this is Daniel Mintz.
Hi, this is Kim Kemp with Redheaded Black Belt. As a news reporter, I know that the competition to be first with a story is real. But KMUD News believes, like I do, that the most important point is to get the news people need out to them. Behind the scenes, Redheaded Black Belt and KMUD work together, sharing sources and facts, so we can bring you more information quicker. Then folks at KMUD love our community, and they depend on us to love them back with donations that help them get you the news you need and the content you enjoy. I'll be digging deep to help, and I hope you will too. Take care.
Turning to Mendocino, Fort Bragg budget balanced with $46,000 surplus. KZYX's Sarah Reith shares this report.
The Fort Bragg City Council held a special budget workshop last week with presentations from City Manager Isaac Whippy and department heads. The city's general fund revenue for the upcoming fiscal year is projected at $12,238,552. Expenses are just a bit lower, leaving the city with a surplus of $46,335. Last year's surplus is expected to be $370,000, half of which will be invested in a trust that acts as a cushion for fluctuations in CalPERS in case the retirement fund fails to perform to expectations. One of the city's top budget priorities is to invest in the trust, which currently contains $2.5 million. After adopting a balanced budget, the other four are to fund litigation and emergency reserves and to maintain the current level of service and provide COLAs for staff. The city also has a few special funds from special taxes, fees, and asset forfeiture. There are capital project funds for particular projects and three enterprise funds for water, wastewater, and the CV Star Center. In 2016, city voters approved a measure to increase Fort Bragg's transient occupancy tax from 10% to 12%. And to devote half of that to marketing the town as a tourist destination. Funding for the purpose is down 3%, or $260,000. The city is working with the Visit Fort Bragg Committee to co-sponsor more municipal events like cultural festivals, block parties, and this year a mountain bike race. Sales tax was also buoyed by a 2018 Supreme Court decision that allowed states to require online retailers to collect sales tax from out-of-state shoppers. Though there was an initial surge in TOT following the local measure, revenues from it and sales tax have gone down 5-10% year over year since then. While this year's budget is barely balanced, Whippy told the council that he does expect deficits in the next 3-4 years as sources of income dwindle and expenses go up.
Revenues, well, it has grown, but it just hasn't grown further or kept up with the rising costs. And we've seen some of the one-time increases or year high post-COVID. But that has come down, and if we don't find additional revenue, we would have to, you know, make service cuts or programs. That's just the reality, and we suddenly, you know, don't want to go down that road, and that's why we build up our reserves. But we've discussed this at finance and admin in previous years, is to identify new potential revenues, and that's what we had proposed previously. But yes, certainly deficits in the next 3-4 fiscal years.
WPIA is projecting revenue of $15.4 million in fiscal year 2025, with expenses of $16.84 million. The operational budget for next year includes $15,000 in election expenses in case the City Council decides to place a measure on the ballot to raise more special taxes. In 2023, a half-cent sales tax to improve the streets passed with over 81% of the vote. It generated a little over $1.1 million this year and is expected to bring in about the same next year. The city is planning to spend $2.5 million to fix the streets in the upcoming fiscal year. Director of Public Works John Smith reported on the 6 divisions within his department with a particular emphasis on water and wastewater. A few of the top priorities for the upcoming year are finishing the rehabilitation of the water treatment plant and replacing the raw water lines, continuing work on floating desalination, and beginning the installation of solar panels on the raw water reservoir. These projects carry a high price tag, with the water treatment plant likely to cost $11.9 million and the raw water lines calling for $9.3 million. The city's 5-year capital improvement plan comes out to $161 million, with an investment of $36.8 million planned for next year. Much of that is grant-funded, with water and wastewater coming from grants and the city's enterprise funds rather than the general fund. Smith said the majority of the planned capital projects are going through his department, with $146 million over 5 years and $21 million for the upcoming year. Within that, water is a major focus.
We should achieve that $21 million and probably beyond that, I would say, depending on how things go with those projects. Mostly we're focused on water, obviously. That's been a problem in the past and probably burned some of us and some of the businesses as well in the past. And we really want to get some water security for a number of reasons the city manager mentioned. And it's really a pain in the neck when you're going through a drought too. It's a huge project for everyone. So I want to get past that and work towards securing a few gallons of water. Raw water line is one of the projects. Water treatment plant, of course, $12 million project. And also the reservoir project. We're starting that up again. We've just been bogged down with projects. So we're seeing a little light here lately, and getting on this reservoir project is really important.
Smith told the council he has high hopes for state and federal grants this upcoming year. The police department budget is $5.85 million, a 7% increase from last year. However, there is a $285,000 salary savings due to 5 vacant positions. Grant funding for 2 code enforcement positions has dried up. The city is recruiting for the 5 officers and will review plans to hire a school resource officer at mid-year budget review. The school district would pay 70% of the SRO's salary. The school district is also serving as the city's emergency operations center, and the city and county are negotiating the acquisition of the Veterans Memorial Hall to use as an EOC. Last night's Fort Bragg City Council agenda included releasing a request for proposals for designing the new reservoirs, approving a grant application to the Bureau of Reclamation for designing the reservoirs, and amending the amount that will be needed for the raw water line replacement. For KZYX News, I'm Sarah Reif. For all our local news, with photos and more, visit kzyx.org.
KMUD's Matt LaFever brings the latest headlines from Mendocino County, where a month-long prescribed burn aims to clear brush along Highway 101. And the county's ousted auditor faces her preliminary hearing in this report.
This is Matt LaFever with the headlines out of Mendocino County for Monday, June 17th, 2024. CAL FIRE is teaming up with the California Department of Transportation and local fire agencies to conduct vegetation management projects along U.S. Highway 101 for the next month. Starting today, the Mendocino unit of CAL FIRE will initiate a prescribed burn from Nelson Ranch Road south of Ukiah to the top of Ridgewood Grade south of Willits. This project aims to treat about 400 acres of grass within Caltrans right-of-way, contributing to reducing fuel along the highway and enhancing safety for motorists and emergency responders. Highway 101 will be under controlled traffic conditions through the burning period. Emergency vehicles will actively be patrolling, so drivers are advised to be cautious and aware. Burning operations will begin tonight around 6 p.m. and will continue as weather permits until approximately July 17th. Smoke will be visible in the area during these times. This initiative aligns with California's Fire Plan and Wildfire Resilience Action Plan, aiming to prevent catastrophic wildfires and provide training opportunities for firefighters. Now let's turn to the Mendocino County Courts. After weeks of delay and the release of hundreds of pages of internal documents, the long-awaited criminal case against suspended Mendocino County Auditor Shamise Covenson is set to begin on July 25th. If the preliminary hearing proceeds as scheduled, it will provide the public with the first comprehensive look at this controversial case, filed by District Attorney David Eister. The charges stem from a dispute over spending practices involving drug asset forfeiture funds, an issue that has publicly pitted Eister against Covenson. The outcome of this case is likely to have significant implications. It could determine whether Covenson will return to her role overseeing a crucial county office, and whether the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors will be liable for damages to her reputation and earnings. This comes after the board suspended her without pay and benefits immediately following the DA's felony charges for alleged misuse of public funds. District Attorney Eister's accusation centers on Covenson's use of a little-known county salary code that allowed the former payroll manager, Paula June Kennedy, to receive an additional $68,000 during the COVID-19 pandemic. In her defense, Covenson claims this arrangement was established by her predecessor, Lloyd Weir. Covenson's attorney, Chris Andrian, stated his office is meticulously reviewing the hundreds of pages of documents recently provided by county officials. He said, quote, "I've seen nothing to change my view of this case and the innocence of Ms. Covenson," unquote. Earlier this year, Eister recused himself from the case, appointing Special Prosecutor Tracy Carrillo from Sonoma County at a cost of $400 per hour. Carrillo is now examining over 700 pages of documents turned over to both the defense and prosecution. She said, quote, "I will continue to assess and analyze what, if any, effect they have on the merits of the case," unquote. Supporters of Covenson argue that this case is driven by Eister's personal vendetta against an auditor who questioned his expenses, including those for staff parties at a local steakhouse, which was labeled as, quote, "training sessions," to bypass a county ban on such gatherings. Eister has been known for his aggressive stance against critics and has clashed with several auditors since taking office in 2011 over his spending practices. While Eister has repeatedly declined to comment on the case, the legal battles continue to roil Mendocino County's political landscape. In addition to the criminal charges, Covenson has filed a civil lawsuit against the Board of Supervisors claiming her suspension without a hearing violated her due process rights. The preliminary hearing on July 25th is eagerly anticipated as it promises to shed light on the allegations and the broader political tensions within the county. Now, let's turn to Hopland. On the night of June 14th, at approximately 10:51 p.m., the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Dispatch Center received a panic alarm notification from Hopland Food and Gas, located on the 13,600 block of Mountain House Road. Sheriff's deputies immediately responded while dispatchers sought further info. As deputies raced to the scene, additional details emerged. A robbery had just occurred, and the suspect was reportedly armed with a firearm. Upon arrival, deputies, along with officers from the California Highway Patrol, began investigating the incident and canvassing the area for the suspect. They discovered that a male suspect, dressed entirely in black and with his face covered, had brandished a semi-auto pistol at an employee and demanded money. The suspect fled with an undisclosed amount of U.S. currency. Despite an extensive search, deputies were unable to locate the suspect, who is considered armed and dangerous. Fortunately, the employee complied with the suspect's demands and was not injured during the incident. The Mendocino County Sheriff's Office is actively investigating the case. They urge anyone with info to contact the Sheriff's Office dispatch at 707-463-4086 or use the anonymous tip line at 707-234-2100. And that's the latest from Mendocino County. I'm Matt LaFever in Hopland, reporting for KMUD News.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Javier Rodriguez. And thanks to our reporters, Daniel Mintz, Sarah Rice, and Matt LaFever. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.